Passage 70. Red for danger. During a bullfight, a drunk suddenly wandered into the middle of the ring. The crowd began to shout, but the drunk was unaware of the danger. The bull was busy with the matador at the time, but it suddenly caught sight of the drunk, who was shouting rude remarks and waving a red cap. Apparently sensitive to criticism, the bull forgot all about the matador and charged at the drunk. The crowd suddenly grew quiet. The drunk, however, seemed quite sure of himself. When the bull got close to him, he clumsily stepped aside to let it pass. The crowd broke into cheers, and the drunk bowed. By this time, however, three men had come into the ring, and they quickly dragged the drunk to safety. Even the bull seemed to feel sorry for him, for it looked on sympathetically until the drunk was out of the way, before once more turning its attention to the matador.
Passage 71. A Famous Clock. When you visit London, one of the first things you will see is Big Ben, the famous clock which can be heard all over the world on the BBC. If the Houses of Parliament had not been burned down in 1834, the great clock would never have been erected. Big Ben takes its name from Sir Benjamin Hall, who was responsible for the making of the clock when the new Houses of Parliament were being built. It is not only of immense size, but is extremely accurate as well. Officials from Greenwich Observatory have the clock checked twice a day. On the BBC, you can hear the clock when it is actually striking, because microphones are connected to the clock tower. Big Ben has rarely gone wrong. Once, however, it failed to give the correct time. A painter, who had been working on the tower, hung a pot of paint on one of the hands and slowed it down.
Passage 72. A Car Called Bluebird. The great racing driver, Sir Malcolm Campbell, was the first man to drive at over 300 miles per hour. He set up a new world record in September 1935 at Bonneville Salt Flats, Utah. Bluebird, the car he was driving, had been specially built for him. It was over 30 feet in length and had a 2,500 horsepower engine. Although Campbell reached a speed of over 304 miles per hour, he had great difficulty in controlling the car, because a tire burst during the first run. After his attempt, Campbell was disappointed to learn that his average speed had been 299 miles per hour. However, a few days later he was told that a mistake had been made. His average speed had been 301 miles per hour. Since that time, racing drivers have reached speeds of over 400 miles an hour. Following his father's footsteps many years later, Sir Malcolm's son, Donald, also set up a world record. Like his father, he was driving a car called Bluebird. Passage 73. The Record Holder. Little boys who play truant from school are unimaginative. A quiet day's fishing, or 8 hours in a cinema seeing the same film over and over again, is usually as far as they get. They have all been put to shame by a boy who, while playing truant, travelled 1,600 miles. He hitchhiked to Dover, and towards evening went into a boat to find somewhere to sleep. When he woke up next morning, He discovered that the boat had, in the meantime, travelled to Calais. No one noticed the boy as he crept off. From there, he hitchhiked to Paris in a lorry. The driver gave him a few biscuits and a cup of coffee and left him just outside the city. The next car the boy stopped did not take him into the centre of Paris, as he hoped it would, but to Perpignan, on the French-Spanish border. There he was picked up by a policeman and sent back to England by the local authorities. He has surely set up a record for the thousands of boys who dream of evading school.
Passage 74. Out of the limelight. An ancient bus stopped by a dry riverbed, and a party of famous actors and actresses got off. Dressed in dark glasses and old clothes, they had taken special precautions so that no one should recognize them. But as they soon discovered, disguises can sometimes be too perfect. "This is a wonderful place for a picnic," said Gloria Gleam. "It couldn't be better, Gloria," Brinksley Mears agreed. "No newspaper men, no film fans. Why don't we come more often?" Meanwhile, two other actors, Rockwall Slinger and Merlin Greaves, had carried two large food baskets to a shady spot under some trees. When they had all made themselves comfortable, a stranger appeared. He looked very angry. "Now you get out of here, all of you," he shouted. "I'm sheriff here. Do you see that notice? It says, 'No camping,' in case you can't read." "Look, Sheriff," said Rockwall, "don't be too hard on us. I'm Rockwall Slinger, and this is Merlin Greaves." "Oh, is it?" said the sheriff with a sneer. "Well, I'm Brinksley Mears, and my other name is Gloria Gleam. Now you get out of here fast."
Passage 75. SOS. When a light passenger plane flew off course some time ago, it crashed in the mountains and its pilot was killed. The only passengers, a young woman and her two baby daughters, were unhurt. It was the middle of winter. Snow lay thick on the ground. The woman knew that the nearest village was miles away. When it grew dark, she turned a suitcase into a bed and put the children inside it, covering them with all the clothes she could find. During the night, it got terribly cold. The woman kept as near as she could to the children and even tried to get into the case herself, but it was too small. The next morning, she heard planes passing overhead and wondered how she could send a signal. Then she had an idea. She stamped out the letters SOS in the snow. Fortunately, a pilot saw the signal and sent a message by radio to the nearest town. It was not long before a helicopter arrived on the scene to rescue the survivors of the plane crash.
Passage 76. April Fool's Day. "To end our special news bulletin," said the voice of the television announcer, "we are taking you to the macaroni fields of Calabria. Macaroni has been grown in this area for over 600 years. Two of the leading growers, Giuseppe Moldova and Riccardo Brabante, tell me that they have been expecting a splendid crop this year, and harvesting has begun earlier than usual. Here you can see two workers who, between them, have just finished cutting 3 cartloads of golden brown macaroni stalks. The whole village has been working day and night, gathering and threshing this year's crop before the September rains. On the right, you can see Mrs. Brabante herself. She has been helping her husband for 30 years now. Mrs. Brabante is talking to the manager of the local factory where the crop is processed. This last scene shows you what will happen at the end of the harvest, the famous Calabrian macaroni-eating competition. Signor Fratelli, the present champion, has won it every year since 1961. And that ends our special bulletin for today, Thursday, April the 1st. We are now returning you to the studio.
Passage 77. A successful operation. The mummy of an Egyptian woman who died in 800 BC has just had an operation. The mummy is that of Shepenmut, who was once a singer in the Temple of Thebes. As there were strange marks on the X-ray plates taken of the mummy, doctors have been trying to find out whether the woman died of a rare disease. The only way to do this was to operate. The operation, which lasted for over 4 hours, proved to be very difficult because of the hard resin which covered the skin. The doctors removed a section of the mummy and sent it to a laboratory. They also found something which the X-ray plates did not show. A small wax figure of the god Duamutef. This god, which has the head of a cow, was normally placed inside a mummy. The doctors have not yet decided how the woman died. They feared that the mummy would fall to pieces when they cut it open. But fortunately, this has not happened. The mummy successfully survived the operation.
Passage 78. The last one. After reading an article entitled Cigarette Smoking and Your Health, I lit a cigarette to calm my nerves. I smoked with concentration and pleasure, as I was sure that this would be my last cigarette. For a whole week, I did not smoke at all, and during this time, my wife suffered terribly. I had all the usual symptoms of someone giving up smoking, a bad temper and an enormous appetite. My friends kept on offering me cigarettes and cigars. They made no effort to hide their amusement whenever I produced a packet of sweets from my pocket. After 7 days of this, I went to a party. Everybody around me was smoking, and I felt extremely uncomfortable. When my old friend Brian urged me to accept a cigarette, it was more than I could bear. I took one, guiltily, lit it, and smoked with satisfaction. My wife was delighted that things had returned to normal once more. Anyway, as Brian pointed out, it is the easiest thing in the world to give up smoking. He himself has done it, lots of times. Passage 79. By air. I used to travel by air a great deal when I was a boy. My parents used to live in South America, and I used to fly there from Europe in the holidays. An air hostess would take charge of me, and I never had an unpleasant experience. I am used to traveling by air, and only on one occasion have I ever felt frightened. After taking off, We were flying low over the city and slowly gaining height when the plane suddenly turned round and flew back to the airport. While we were waiting to land, an air hostess told us to keep calm and to get off the plane quietly as soon as it had touched down. Everybody on board was worried, and we were curious to find out what had happened. Later, we learnt that there was a very important person on board. The police had been told that a bomb had been planted on the plane. After we had landed, the plane was searched thoroughly. Fortunately, nothing was found, and 5 hours later, we were able to take off again.
Passage 80. The Crystal Palace. Perhaps the most extraordinary building of the 19th century was the Crystal Palace, which was built in Hyde Park for the Great Exhibition of 1851. The Crystal Palace was different from all other buildings in the world, for it was made of iron and glass. It was one of the biggest buildings of all time, and a lot of people from many countries came to see it. A great many goods were sent to the exhibition from various parts of the world. There was also a great deal of machinery on display. The most wonderful piece of machinery on show was Nasmyth's steam hammer. Though in those days travelling was not as easy as it is today, steamboats carried thousands of visitors across the Channel from Europe. On arriving in England, they were taken to the Crystal Palace by train. There were 6 million visitors in all, and the profits from the exhibition were used to build museums and colleges. Later, the Crystal Palace was moved to South London. It remained one of the most famous buildings in the world until it was burnt down in 1936.
Passage 81. Escape. When he had killed the guard, the prisoner of war quickly dragged him into the bushes. Working rapidly in the darkness, he soon changed into the dead man's clothes. Now, dressed in a blue uniform and with a rifle over his shoulders, the prisoner marched boldly up and down in front of the camp. He could hear shouting in the camp itself. Lights were blazing, and men were running here and there. They had just discovered that a prisoner had escaped. At that moment, a large black car, with 4 officers inside it, stopped at the camp gates. The officers got out, and the prisoner stood to attention and saluted as they passed. When they had gone, the driver of the car came towards him. The man obviously wanted to talk. He was rather elderly, with grey hair and clear blue eyes. The prisoner felt sorry for him, but there was nothing else he could do. As the man came near, the prisoner knocked him to the ground with a sharp blow. Then, jumping into the car, he drove off as quickly as he could.
Passage 82. Monster or fish? Fishermen and sailors sometimes claim to have seen monsters in the sea. Though people have often laughed at stories told by seamen, it is now known that many of these monsters, which have at times been sighted, are simply strange fish. Occasionally, unusual creatures are washed to the shore, but they are rarely caught out at sea. Some time ago, however, a peculiar fish was caught near Madagascar. A small fishing boat was carried miles out to sea by the powerful fishes it pulled on the line. Realizing that this was no ordinary fish, The fisherman made every effort not to damage it in any way. When it was eventually brought to shore, it was found to be over 13 feet long. It had a head like a horse, big blue eyes, shining silver skin, and a bright red tail. The fish, which has since been sent to a museum, where it is being examined by scientists, is called an oarfish. Such creatures have rarely been seen alive by man, as they live at a depth of 600 feet.